fucking trippy.
We changed those endings a couple of times,
yeah.
And so we've been using different takes lately, and so I'm always like, huh?
Yeah, I forgot we said that. Intro, bitch.
Intro. We are back.
Hello, baby. I'm back. Like a
we have been out. In case you all haven't noticed, that we've done a lot of reruns lately. We've been out of the lab for a minute now, just lifing. I'm tired as fuck.
I am doing my medium.
Doing
not my best.
I know.
That would be an overstatement to how I have been existing as of late. So I'm doing my medium.
Yeah, I mean, it is a very common thing for Black women that when we're not doing so good, it's we feel that. I mean, we're still doing better than a lot of people.
Sure, absolutely, because yeah. We have to.
Yeah. Yeah, we have been conditioned to, like, not sit down and just let the darkness consume us.
Yes, exactly.
Which is both has good and bad sort of repercussions. But all that to say, hello!
Hello!
This is Black on Black on Black. For those of you who do not know, this is a show with a Bay Area native and a transfer from the
Sizzity side.
I might as well just let you do it. And what we do is that we explore the real San Francisco, finding scenes, creating memes,
and being obscene.
Okay.
I'm never beating the allegations.
Boy, ever. 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 The allegations are so...
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But so listen to the show to find out what's going on in the city, where to find it, and to learn about the local artists who make it all happen.
Yeah.
And so we usually start out this show with one, acknowledging events that are happening, getting into some Black happenings.
Yep.
And then we usually have like some particular theme that we're exploring. And for this show, because it's been a while, we're just going to be catching up.
Yeah, we're going to kind of catch up. There's a lot of bullshit that's happening within the community and outside of the community. Mm. So we're going to talk about that shit. Mm. And also just, you know, listen to some dope ass music, courtesy of Queen.
Yeah.
And this is D-Fantastic, by the way. D-Fantastic. I'll suck your dick.
That's right. I'm DJ Queen. It's DJ Fantastic. I did the playlist today. It's just going to be a bunch of things that I've been listening to lately. So it's going to hop around, but I tried to organize the sets by genre a bit, or things that were in closer orbit in genres, for genre's sake. And I'll talk about it after we listen to each of the different sets. But just to acknowledge some things happening in the community, running from now through July, there is the Compton's Cafeteria Riot, which right now is running every Friday and Sunday. It was written by Colette Legrand, Mark Nassar, and Donna Persona.
Yeah.
Hey.
The legendary Donna Persona.
Who was actually in it, like, was there when all of this was happening. And it's also directed by Ezra Reeves and produced by the Tenderloin Museum.
Wow. Love that.
And so for those who maybe aren't familiar with the Compton Cafeteria Riot, this is something that happened a couple years prior to... Hi!
Yes, it is live.
Yeah, we live in the bitch.
What's up?
Our people are outside. We're giving a shout out.
Shout out from the East Coast, too.
Oh, shout out from the East Coast.
New Haven.
New Haven. New Haven.
The building.
East West Coast connection, baby.
I love that.
So we do, for those of you who are like, what just happened? We do sometimes leave the door open just so people can come by and say hi, or if people are just walking by, then kind of want to say what's up.
Yeah, and it was two black people, and I was like, yes, let's go. And they're like, is this live? And I was like, hell yeah. So we actually sometimes host live shows, so we like to leave the door open during that time as well, so people can come in. Y'all can hear some audience shit happen in the background, because, you know, why not get more attention?
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right. Yeah. So if you ever hear us forecast that we're going to do a live show,
please come.
Please
come
do. Yeah. It's not like we have created some secret guest list and we only invite secret people. We host a live show because we want people to come in. Just be respectful of the space is what we ask and what we demand.
Basically, if you're ugly, no.
Okay. Why are you here?
Ugly attitude. That's what I meant.
Basically, we have a capacity for ugly, and D and I are already filling that quota. So, yeah. Y'all.
We cannot have more ugly in this space.
We are holding it down for the uggos, so we need you We need you to bring it up the caliber here.
Yeah.
But so to finish about the Compton Cafeteria riot, this is something that happened a couple years prior to the Stonewall riots, which took place in New York and essentially are what kicked off what we know as Pride. So this happened in the Tenderloin area of San Francisco, where there was a week-long riot between transgender individuals and police, and like it was a milestone event in terms of the queer community having protests and fighting back against a lot of oppressive legislation and sort of protocol that cities and the state and the country were perpetuating towards that community. So the play is amazing. We have a friend who's in it. Donna Persona is also a close friend, and so we strongly recommend that you all go to it. It runs through July, so you can even watch this during Pride Month. And I the ticket cost is $75, but that does include pancakes and sausages, and they pay their actors, they pay their backstand hands. This is a majority, if not all, the individuals you see playing these characters have identities that are closely aligned with those characters and the in general vibe of this play, and they're paying those people good money. So that $75 ticket cost, that is, eat that and go see this play.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We love that.
Mm-hmm. And then coming up this week, we have Asaya and the Balkan Brass Jam debuting on April
27th. That is...
Because
you was hella pumped, and I was like,
damn, girl, damn, let me get there.
Okay, I'm sorry, my bad.
Damn, the genre is Balkan music, and for those who
don't know what that is.
I was just getting ready to,
okay, damn, bro,
you want to see as hell today.
You know what?
Did you
just
excited
coffee?
About
Did
it. You what you missing? Like, what's
no,
happening?
No. You ever get so depressed you get really energetic?
Yeah.
That's where I'm at right now.
It's all a front. It is all a lie.
I kind of horseshoed all the way around, you know?
It's all a lie.
Okay, anyway, so but, Balkan traditional music.
So Balkan music is traditional folk music from the Balkan area.
No way.
Yeah. That is traditional folk music for that area. So we're talking about like Eastern Europe. Like, I actually had it pulled up. So think like Albania, Bosnia, Herzegovina, Bulgaria, Croatia, mm-hmm. that area.
Yes.
Like a fusion of like folk music and in the Balkan area, Southeastern Europe, Balkan music.
I'm going to be honest with you. I believe I have an idea of what that sounds like, but mm-hmm. I'm worried that what I'm imagining inning is very racist.
It's a lot of horns. It's a lot of up-tempo specific types of drum. I can play some maybe next week. I don't have any Balkan music because I haven't been listening to that lately, but I definitely do want to go to this show.
Well, that seems cool.
And there is a kind of like a scene in San Francisco and the Mission, particularly for Balkan music. And so we have friends, and I'm talking about like Jackie and Jeff are part of that band, part of this band that has their show and debuting, who are really into that scene of music, either from their own cultural ties or just an affiliation or just like, you know, really, really, really sort of like jiving with that type of music. So they're going to, this band who is composed of a lot of our friends, is going to be performing at Ashkenaz, which is a very well-known Berkeley sort of venue. So it's on 1317 San Pablo Ave. There is no cover, and it's for all ages.
That's
so
crazy.
Yeah, absolutely, come through, show out. I am so excited, and I'm definitely going to do my best to be there because it's in my neck of the woods. Hello. Hi. Are late. It's nice to see you all. I hope people are still. Hello. Okay, there we are. Hi. It's me, Queen. Welcome to Black on Black on Black. So Dee and I were running a bit behind today, but we are now on. I will give us the introduction. We are doing a catching up part two, so we're just going to talk about happenings that are happening in the Black community today. Some additional events to highlight. Those are the ones from last week. For this week, we have Mission Delirium Esoterica Tropical. That it will be happening at El Rio. If you do not know Mission Delirium, they are a brass band. They do a lot of New Orleans style brass. They also mix in Balkan and other regions as well. So they will be performing at El Rio on Thursday, 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. DJ goes on at 6, and I believe the band starts right at 7 p.m. This will be at, again, at El Rio SF, 3158 Mission Street, San Francisco.
El Rio.
Your mic is not on.
El Rio.
Okay.
And D-Fantastic is in the building. Is in the building, by the way.
All right. We made it.
Yay.
And then outside of that, there are also Banda Sin Nombre live at Sailing Goat is happening this Saturday. That's May 3rd, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Also, both of these events will be events that Kate Goldstein is celebrating her birthday at. Woo woo!
Let's go.
Kate. So, on Saturday, Banda Sin Nombre, that's the band that Kate is in, will be performing 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Selling Goat, which is in Point Richmond, not the Richmond neighborhood in San Francisco. We are actually talking about the city of Richmond, which is in the East Bay. And so that brings us up to our happenings. So some things that I've highlighted.
Okay,
you ready for this?
Yeah,
you ready?
Yeah.
So first of all, yesterday was the 64th Independence Day for Sierra Leone. Whoop whoop whoop,
yeah. Whoop.
And for those who don't know, Sierra Leone is a country in Africa. And so there were a lot of great celebrities like shouting out Idris Elba, Aaron Pierre are amongst some of the influential celebrities who have Sierra Leone roots. There were plenty of posts celebrating the culture and vibrancy of Sierra Leone, whose former colonizers was. Can you guess?
What?
You can guess who Sierra Leone
is. Bro, I'm trying to get our shit together.
All right, bro. It's the British. Outside of that, also, Sinners, if you have not seen that movie, go see that. Actually, probably next month, we'll do a whole breakdown of that because there's just so many things.
Yes. I didn't want to.
Oh, nigga, now you can comment?
No, I'm saying, but we didn't want to talk too much on it because not everybody's seen it yet. It's still hella new.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's break it down in a month or so when we feel like enough people have seen it. Obviously, we'll give like hella spoiler alerts, but still.
Yeah, and we also probably go back and see it at least two more times.
Two more times?
Oh, I.
I mean, yeah. I will definitely see that again, just for Michael B. Jordan, just for my own sake. I don't know if you know this, but D-Fantastic and Queen Noor are big fans of Michael B. Jordan. Big fans.
Oh, my God.
You know, for his work and his work. And he is doing work.
He's doing
in
work,
that
baby. Let's go.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Senders now holds the record for smallest second weekend drop of any film opening to more than 40 million.
That's huge.
Since the 2009's Avatar and any R-rated film, period.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. See, this is what happens when you make things appeal to black people.
That's right.
Like, we come through, we show up.
We spend money.
That's why Target is struggling right now.
Boy.
Because we boycotted the fuck out of them, and they're like, oh, let's, you know, the CEO, like, tried to talk to Al Sharpton, like, that was going to help. I'm like, nah, nigga. I'm never going back to Target ever again. Like,
Al Sharpton can't tell us nothing.
Absolutely not. Not with that hair.
Boy, absolutely not. We were roast.
No, bro.
So black coins do make the world go round.
Absolutely.
To that, at 163 million worldwide, it's currently the seventh highest grossing movie of 2025.
Yes.
Shout out,
Sinners, amazing,
Oakland's finest, baby.
Yeah. And I think, okay, like I think everybody knows what like the creatures are, right?
The creatures
in the movie.
Yes,
everybody knows they're vampires.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I think, you know, I just want to say, like, if I was turned, I mean, I'm definitely turning one of my friends.
Oh, my God.
This is without a doubt. Aurelia, I went ahead and nominated Queen Noor.
She's already, like, two years.
She's already said in the past she would like to live forever.
Yeah,
so
but
actually,
you gotta give me 2 years to
Not doing that.
Yeah, we already said. You already said yes.
No. I said I'll think about it.
No, I never agreed to that.
You said you'll give a year,
and then after a year.
A year is the max?
No, a year is the max.
And I'm still considering it. I'm still considering it. Because who the fuck is going to roll with me?
I will roll with you after 2 years.
So I have 2 years in the darkness alone.
You act like you're not just going to be lurking outside my house every night. We don't hang out. We're going to hang out, bro.
Yeah, you're going to get sick of me, though. You're going to be like, yo,
no,
like, I want to go to bed.
Because I'm going to have to sleep eventually.
Right.
Bro, no. You can do this for 2 years.
No.
You can do the 2 years.
No.
2 years in a pale of, like, infinity years is nothing.
When I'm immediately alone, I need somebody.
This is literally nothing.
It is something. It's something. Yeah. Yeah.
No, you can wait 2 years. That's what's
okay.
You'll be fine.
Yeah.
And then in other news that I'm now coining as... Can you hear me?
Hardly.
I feel like...
The mic is kind of being
the
weird.
The mic is being very weird.
Okay.
Questionable.
Yeah, you're good.
And then cornered what I'm now calling Trumpster Fire. we're just going to round all our Trump updates up.
Of course.
This. So, one, Trump announces that he is bringing Columbus Day back. For the Italians.
Jesus.
So Trump,
you can't see me, but I'm shaking my fucking head.
Right. Trump wants to reinstate Columbus Day as he feels like it's been the Columbus achievements have been misunderstood and miscategorized, and that Italians deserve to have this day to recognize their hero.
So are we pro immigrants or not? Right. Can you pick a fucking side, my nigga? Pick a fucking side. Like, you can't be like, oh, you know, this man came over to our land and printed and discovered and took it over, and we're cool with that. No. When is it cool or not? Like, bitch, shut the fuck.
Italians collectively have said they don't care, and that Columbus was sponsored by Spain. Columbus was sponsored by Spain.
Right. So, exactly. Exactly. So you want Spanish people over? You don't like nobody speaking Spanish.
Mm-hmm. So it's
trash.
It's real ghetto.
Trash.
And just so you all are aware, there's about seven states currently who recognize Indigenous Peoples Day, which has commonly taken the place for a lot of people of Columbus Day. Some of those states recognize it alongside Columbus Day, but there are many people. Also, Biden, during his administration, declared Indigenous People Day as like a celebrated holiday, and also denounced Christopher Columbus Day. So Yeah. We could break down.
Anyways,
the,
this is the same
theory.
Old Gulf of America bullshit. Nobody gives a fuck. It's not doing anything. Yeah. He's just being a cunt.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Secondly, Saquon Barkley, who was the running back from the Super Bowl winning champions, Philadelphia Eagles, recently visited with Donald Trump ahead of the team's visit to the White House to play golf, which caused a lot of backlash to people within the black community specifically. His response, Saquon Barkley's response to the backlash was, and I quote, "Maybe I just respect the office. Not a hard concept to understand. Just golf with Obama not too long ago and look forward to finishing my round with Trump." In contrast to this, Jalen Hurts, whenever asked about the visit to the White House, has basically refused to respond and also was not present at their visit was today.
Correct.
And Jalen Hurts was noticeably absent.
Correct. I'm like, you can go ahead and be like, yeah, respect the office. And then, you know, fine. Then go ahead and buy up all the shit. Do whatever you want to do. But don't act like you are not co-signing on shit.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now. Like, I would not be hanging out in Pol Pot's office. Like, the fuck? No.
I've noticed this trend specifically with black men when they're doing something nefarious or something that the culture obviously does not approve on. They throw up like either another black figure or they throw their blackness into it to be like, well, I'm just like, I'm down, but like I can do this kind of thing.
Of course.
Like, we'll see it later on. We're going to talk about the events happening with Shannon Sharpe's sexual assault case. And there's another case of instance in where he throws up his blackness too as a sort of way of being like, no, I'm down and I'm black. And like, no, this is a like almost like a victim mindset that he's using to like he's scapegoating his blackness as like, this is why I'm being targeted.
Yes. So this is the black male version of white woman tears.
Yeah,
get
bro.
The fuck out of here.
Yeah, bro.
Like, that's not...
Like, you get no points here just because you golfed with Obama. That does not...
Correct. Yeah.
You're not proving anything to us with that other than maybe you're a clout chaser.
Right.
Like,
Which then it's even worse. It's like, stand on business then. If you... Mm. Like, stand... Just say, I don't give a fuck about politics. Just say, I don't care that people are suffering. Just say that.
Yeah, just
stand on who you are. Like, if you actually do not care that people that look like you, that talk like you, that act like you are being like definitively attacked and harmed by this administration, just say that, please. Because you know what? People will like you for that.
Yeah.
Fucked up people, but they'll like you.
Yeah, but they'll go ten toes down for you.
Absolutely.
Not us, but like those people. You if you do not want to be associated with those people, then understand that you might need to do some introspective work and look at your own beliefs and like your actions and recognize that you are in misalignment, my dear. And you need to move yourself out of it. Don't defend your shitty things and throw all of these like straw man sort of arguments up, like really dig deep into like, wow, why are people so angry? Is this out of alignment with something I really should believe? And then if you're like, no, you know what, I do believe those things, then proceed on. Proceed on.
Yeah.
I do think we're living in an age where sort of celebrities are being knocked down. You know, we're not idolizing celebrities anymore. We're trying not to.
We still be doing on some dumb shit for other people that we really should not. Like, Chris Brown should be in jail.
Boy.
That nigga still tours.
Boy.
Like, you
Boy.
Know what I'm saying? So, like, it still happens.
And the black community is going 10 toes down right now about Chris
forever,
Brown.
Forever.
Like,
R. Kelly, that was a whole thing. It's like, why am I arguing with y'all about this? That nigga should be in jail.
Predator.
Thank God he is.
Yeah.
But we are getting better. We're still not in a place where...
We're not all the way there.
You know? So since we're talking about... Actually, it's funny. This whole thing is about football niggas.
We really put together a sports...
Because football niggas are acting up.
Boy,
Because I meant to tell you about this. Did you hear about this whole thing of Patrick Mahomes and his hair?
What about Patrick? Why?
okay. So anyways,
what about Patrick Mahomes' hair?
So Patrick Mahomes ended up like cutting his hair instead of the regular mohawk that he has, right?
Okay.
And so he said, like in an interview, he was like, you know, I want to do this for a while, but I didn't want to, you know. It was kind of one of those superstitions. I kept winning the Super Bowl, which is a good thing.
He had an interview to talk about his hair,
right? You know, and so then he was like. he was like, what did he say? He was like, I can't believe that my friends let me, I can't believe the team let me keep my hair so nappy this whole time. Your face. Oh my God. I was like,
yo, I'm worried for those children. I'm worried for those children.
Like, nappy, bro? That's what you're going to refer to your hair? That's crazy.
What do you mean he can't believe his teammates let him? He's a grown-ass man.
Yeah, or Patrick Mahomes says, can't believe people let him keep his hair so nappy for so long.
He's a grown-ass man.
Absolutely.
Also,
oh, here's the actual quote. Why y'all let me keep that nappy hair for so long?
That nappy hair? What is he talking about?
Isn't that fucking crazy? What is he talking about? The hair that grows out of your head? It was a tweet. It was a tweet on X.
And for those who are confused or maybe wondering, like, well, what is wrong
with him referring to?
Yeah. So nappy in the Black community, it has gone through an evolution of understanding and processing the internalized oppression within that word.
Right.
Nappy for a long time has been used in a derogatory way to categorize Black people's hair as ugly, as like non-manageable, as like something that is not good. If your hair is called nappy, it is implying that you have quote unquote bad hair.
Yes.
And so that's why that term has such
it's triggering.
The Black community in general has been trying to move away from using that and talking about our own hair.
Yeah. Cause I would say, you know, in the 90s and maybe in the 2000s, I think we were still
older folks are still using that.
I think we were still kind of using it in terms, but the problem is that we never used it in affirmation.
No.
Like, we were using it to make fun of our own, and it was like, it was always negative, you know, nappy-headed, like, whatever, chicken-headed, like, same sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And so, it's been a negative connotation for forever, so we just collectively, I think, just decided, fuck that. Like, we're not gonna, why, we have great hair, it's magical, like,
instead,
and so,
our hair is textured.
Yeah.
You can even say coarse.
Yeah. Curly, coiled, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All of these words that are used to describe the just in fact state of the hair rather than apply this negative connotation making the hair seem like wrong.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's just like, really annoying.
Patrick
it's just
is
really annoying.
So fucking trash. Like, he's just coonery. He's such a trash. Coonery, like, how are you gonna tweet that, bro?
The coonery.
Like, I mean, the coonery is wild. The coonery is like, that's crazy.
I now believe he just likes that persona that he has.
Yeah.
As the coonery, quote unquote, black man in the league.
Yeah.
And so I now think he purposely does this to trigger people, which is like,
he's trying to further alienate himself from the Black community.
There's really going to need to be a study done on sort of like troll, the psychology behind trolling and what it happens to people's mindset when they find themselves becoming a troll. You know, I'm really curious of that whole mindset.
I think kind there, of there what, has to be research happening. Out there because the internet has been around for a while. I'm sure there's research out there.
And so many people succumb to like trolling, you know, and I'm just really curious about sort of the breakdown of that. And like, I really wish somebody would kind of like put out some papers so people can, one, just be aware of that mindset, the harmfulness it can cause to themselves and to communities that they are trolling, and kind of safeguard themselves from falling into that, because we are a big ass case study for that.
Yeah, I mean, but I will say this: trolling to me is a form of bullying. Mm-hmm. So like, whenever I'm in IG comments or whatever, and someone's like, you know, it's a video about feminism, and then some dude is like, "You're never going to get married, anyways." I'm always like, "Don't feed the troll." Like, this is just some person who's sad, trying to get a rise out of you, and bullies only do that to get reactions. Like, that's literally what they do. Yeah. So this is some similar kind of bullshit, and also to reaffirm themselves and whatever stance they're taking. So yeah, he's like, I'm not black apparently, or I'm black and it's bad, or I'm black and
I'm gonna be
bad.
The black person who says the problematic things, because that's what I'm just gonna say, because everyone's soft, da 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 snowflake, blah 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 blah.
I hope his asshole never stops itching. I hope it is constant. And it is just a plague upon him. I am hoping and wishing for that right now.
Yeah, there really is just like a spotlight on the like on football right now and that community. There's a lot going on, y'all.
There is a lot. Yeah. Shall we get into our first or our would you rather?
Yeah, what you got?
Okay, so it's funny because I'm actually not going to give you would you rather. I'm giving you a question that has been circulating on the internet, and I have to get your take on this. I have to.
What is it?
And it's in the black community, which is funny that you haven't brought this up. So someone tweeted about this. They said something like, yo, if all these niggas were dedicated, 100 humans could definitely take on one gorilla.
If what?
If everybody was dedicated, this black dude said, I believe that 100 humans could take on one gorilla. Do you believe that?
One gorilla.
One gorilla versus 100 humans. Do you believe that?
That if everybody was really down.
Dedicated. Yeah, was down. Down.
Are we talking about 100 random humans? Are we talking about 100 adult humans? Or are we talking about,
I'm going to say 100 random adult humans. They got to be over the age of 18.
And we're talking about any gender.
Yes.
100.
100.
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm sorry, why is this a thing?
I don't know. But the tweet fucking blew up.
Why did that? What?
Yo, because it's funny as fuck.
The things that go viral.
Because it's offered a huge discourse, right? It's like, is this believable? How do you attack the gorilla? Like, are you dogpiling
him? This is reminding me of the Aaron Kat situation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Except in the opposite,
yes. So we essentially are the cats in the situation. Yeah. Like, we are trying to end a gorilla's life with our bare hands.
That's crazy.
Yeah, 100 of us.
That's crazy.
You think we could do it?
I think we could do it, but it at least 20 of these people really got to be about, like, doing the gore work.
Oh, no, they're dead.
Like,
20 people are dead.
No, I mean, at least 20 people out of these 100 need to be, like, of that animal mind state.
Okay.
Like, they need to really be about...
like, just, like, feral, like...
Like, we can't have 100, like, nannies or 100, teachers, bro. No, we gotta have, like...
No, we have, like...
We need to have some ex-military, like... Right. Like,
that's what I'm thinking we're all trapped in a fucking room, and if we kill the gorilla, we get out.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And even then, we still need to have some people in who are
I need to get the fuck out, bro.
Yeah, bro. Some people would freeze.
Well, they better get together. Push them towards the front. They can be the first to go.
At least 20 people need to be about it, because that will also incentivize maybe those on the borderline people. Like, seriously, bro. We need strong mob mentality in this moment.
We're going to have the mob mentality, because how are we going to get out?
Because I understand
if the gorillas start bucking, everybody's got to start bucking. Because I understand
five people, at least 5 to 10 people are just going to get taken out.
100%.
They're going to be taken out in a passive way.
I imagine 10 are dead, 20 are seriously maimed.
Yeah.
Everyone else, they're going to get fucking hurt. Yeah, bro. We can do it. We have a dog pile on this nigga, though. We can't go one at a time.
No.
It has to be everybody on the legs, arms, like, getting him in his throat, trying to choke him out or something.
Eyes gouging. Like, yeah. Ripping his balls off, maybe. You get a finger taken off, you need to keep going.
Yeah.
You need to avenge that finger, bro. Oh,
I forgot about their mouths. They have fangs.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, they're going to...
Yeah, bro.
That thing is going to eat somebody's hand.
Someone is going to get, like... Like, bro, it's gonna be intense. Trauma is going to happen.
There's gonna be a lot of peeing and shitting yourselves,
bro.
But
this has been dominating.
This has been dominating.
I don't understand how we are the dominant species. I really don't, bro. I really don't.
Because we built technology to the point where we can talk about conversations like
this. It's so stupid.
So yes, I also agree. 100 humans, we got this.
Were people like, nah?
Yeah, people are like, nah, bro. The gorilla's gonna like rip off people's arms and use the arms as like fucking
what gorilla.
Gorillas are strong, though. I'm not saying
they are strong, but like, bro, what do they all rip off the arm and do what?
And beat us over the head with it. And I was like, I don't think.
What are you talking about?
I definitely think people are going to get fucking hurt.
Oh, absolutely.
And dead.
Some multiple people are going
to
get seriously.
I'm
going
to try to be in the middle.
Y'all be safe.
You know,
like, I will be ecstatic if I only come out with, like, you know, a broken finger or something. I would be ecstatic. Yeah.
I will be happy if I'm not paralyzed.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
You know?
It, like,
if I'm missing a hand or a foot, I'm cool with that.
you know, I would like my face too. Yeah. My face and not paralyzed is, I think, the best.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible, bro. You've survived.
Yeah. I think, like,
surviving and survival.
Pile on the legs and just, I mean, just pile on that.
If people got to not get off, they got to stay. They got to stay. And as soon as someone's on it, more people got to get on.
Yes.
Everyone has to come. That's what I'm saying. Like, you need 20 people at least.
Stomp on that.
Who are about that life.
No,
That can incentivize the borderline. Because there's going to be them borderline people who are going to be like.
You're not going to be borderline, right? You're going to be in that bitch.
Nigga, I'm not going to be first wave.
Wave?
Yes, you can. Okay. You can decide not to be first wave. That's how that
no,
goes.
No, because that's crazy.
You're gonna immediately just jump in there?
No, but I'm saying.
Okay, then what are you talking to me about?
No, I'm saying.
Then what are you talking to me about?
How do we decide that? Like,
that's what I'm saying. You need 20 people who it's those 20 people who recognize, like, this is gotta be we gotta do it.
So 20 suicidal people.
Borderline. Like, they're borderline. They're, like, these are your ex-military. You're like, I was given an order, so I'm a go kind of people, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you need that type of, or you need, like, parents who are being told that they're never going to see their child again or something
like
that.
That's me. So, like, I'm...
Yeah, but understand, Fela would need to be there for you to have that type of, like, immediate reaction.
I mean...
You are... Because otherwise, you're going to be like, well, I got to make it home to this child. Like, I need to, like... I can't be too reckless out here.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I'm not going to be first wave. I'm sorry. not only is my rational mind, my black ass mind is going to be like, no.
Hey, so also,
I'm going to be like, you go first, Kathy. No.
Also, do you believe that it's misandrous for me to say that I think men should attack first?
No.
They're stronger than us, right? So they can wear him down.
Yeah.
And then we come in on the second wave.
Yeah. I think that's just good strategy.
Yeah. I think that's just good strategy. Yeah.
Because like, why
put us out of commission?
That's a waste of numbers.
Yes.
That's a waste of numbers.
Yes, I agree.
Go in with the first big heavy hitters who actually are going to make an impact.
A dent.
And actually, no, sure. That's just good strategy.
Thank
I don't.
I'm thinking as a general, I think you need the hard hitters first.
You need the hard hitters, or else you're just wasting numbers.
And keep some in the back when we need to end it fast.
Yeah.
You need first wave of hard hitters.
Yep.
Then you got the women.
Yep.
And then just dual action in the back.
Yep. And hope maybe we can fashion some weapons somewhere. I don't know. If there's any sort of things that people can grab, like, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I don't think you throw women first. I think you throw heavy hitters first.
Yeah, and this is the time for men to say they're leaders.
Like,
right?
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Go ahead, baby.
Go ahead.
It's your time.
This is your hunter-gatherer time,
bro.
All y'all niggas who are like, women were just stronger. This is perfect for you.
Do it.
Women, men, y'all are stronger.
Step,
go ahead.
Yeah, step up.
So speaking of, we're going to play our first song, which is You Don't Want No Drama. By A-Ball and MJG. let's go.
Boy South, niggas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ball and G.
Yeah.
All right, man. The moment you've all been waiting for. Collaboration. Come on now.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's go.
Stop
Let's
playing.
Go. Let's
Come
go.
On. Straight from the underground. Fat boy from the mound. Spit it how I live it. Keep it gutter. That's how we get down. Let a nigga know what hood you from. Everybody with me drunk as fuck. Break it down and roll it up. Bag it up. A girl like you, a nigga like me can't pass it up. Rolling by, looking good. Put it in reverse and bag it up. What's the deal? Let me make it clear. What you got right here? They broke the mold. One of a kind. Fat boy with a gold mouth. Shine hard to touch. Sorry to tell you, boys out here ain't hard as us. Stalled in G, part of the streets. Cause the streets are a part of us. Lay it down. Please remember games. We don't play them now. Respect, please remember stains. We gon' spray them now.
Bust a nigga head, smack a hoe, shoot the club.
Yeah.
Bust a nigga head, smack a hoe, shoot the club.
Yeah.
Bitch, nigga, bitch, nigga, bitch, nigga. Pump and load and dump. Fuck it, he chose the jump. In the middle of the fire, scotch and burn.
let's overheat him. Really mistreat him, let's ride the king and men overheat him. MJG is the reason your season needed. Season your spices, they needed more life and lucky your wife was bleeding.
Your life is leaving your body for drinking too much Bacardi. You should've known when you started, never fuck with G.
And in the climate, I'm shining, cause I'm perfect with timing. I'm good for ripping and rhyming in and out the beat.
You go and they bonus loading the clip for niggas supposing the trip. And you know I'm rolling the whip, we finna set them free. Bust a nigga, it's not a hoe. Bust a nigga, hey, smack a hoe, shoot the club.
My denim, my back stroking, swimming in pools with models in them. Them boys, they hate it. We hustle, we made it. We richer, the picture is two of the greatest. The realest, you bump some ball and G, you gon' feel it. Guaranteed, motherfucker, stamp, sign, sealing. Replacing the fakest, they don't give it up, we gon' take it. The realest up in this, niggas bucking, bitches shaking. They asses for cash, it might be a habit. Like mics when we grab it, we cock it, we blast it. Bust a nigga, hey, smack a hoe, shoot the club.
Let's go.
Bust a nigga, hey, smack a hoe, shoot the club.
Yeah.
Bitch, nigga, bitch, nigga, bitch, nigga.
Ball and G, Orange Mound, New York collaboration. You don't want no drama. You don't want none. I see you, ATL. Let's tear this shit up. Come on. I said let's tear this shit up. South. Let's go. Let's work these motherfuckers. Let's get this money, niggas. Yeah, as we proceed.
Yeah, I guess that's how it is. It's had to go down.
That's how it's gonna go down.
Really,
we got these
war.
Motherfucking Marty Griffin. 50 cal, yeah, y'all yeah. Don't know nothing about this shit. Yeah. These motherfuckers fully automatic. You got a 9, give me that motherfucking 9. You got these motherfucking Glocks, these motherfucking SKs, AKs, 3-6 mines, nigga. But it's going down. Down. You want
I come from a city where they love to hate, especially on the triple six. They see we really got business and business, and they hate that shit. They try to come up over us, the radio even help them at it. But y'all ain't got no balls, so hang it up, you silly rabbits. I'ma keep on hurting you both by making this motherfucking world rock. Side the fucking signs, bitch, what is it, man? We still ain't stopped, we still riding clean, making cheese and carrying plastic boxes. Please don't try to test us, cause you know we'll let these bitches rock. On you hoes, you haters, you niggas really like us. Cause if you beg us, then you would try to sound so much like us. I'm the K-I-N-G-O-F-M-E-H-N-S, H-E-P to the E-N-D. Others gon' be less, don't compare. Man, I swear they wanna beat out with my team. Don't let that shit talking on them CDs fool you. That ain't what they really mean. The truth can hurt so bad, so look in their faces when you play them. And watch how they look, and watch they jaw drop with the paper, nigga. Why y'all touch my gangsta? These bitches touch my gangsta. Why y'all touch my gangsta? These bitches touch my gangsta. Why y'all touch my gangsta? These bitches touch my gangsta. Why y'all touch my gangsta? These bitches touch my gangsta. Why y'all touch my gangsta? These bitches touch my gangsta. Why y'all touch my gangsta? These bitches touch my gangsta. Why y'all touch my gangsta? These bitches touch my gangsta. Why y'all touch my gangsta? These bitches touch my gangsta.
Nigga, don't you know that law can make your life a living hell? And I mean that literally, the place where demon spirits dwell. Empty all the buckshot shells, make your fucking body smell. I can fuck you up so well to what you were, they cannot tell. Fuck with me, you fucking with the best, and you also fucking with the wrong one. I will hit you.
my gangster? Why y'all just my gangster? These bitches just my gangster. Why y'all just my gangster? These bitches just my gangster. Why y'all just my gangster? These bitches just my gangster. Why y'all just my gangster? These bitches just my gangster. Why y'all just my gangster? These bitches just my gangster. Why y'all just my gangster? These bitches just my gangster. Why y'all just my gangster? These bitches just my gangster.
Why you niggas wanna test my gangster? Gonna make a nigga run up and change, yo. Or put some cement in your shoe that sank, yo. Or make you shoot yourself and then I'm thinking, yo. Gonna tie a rope around your throat and drag you, yo. Get nothing from me but gangsta love. Gonna test it, be my nigga, have you landed in blue. Or dig you a grave, cuff your bitch ass too. These niggas be trying to test, I ain't no slow. I smoke my fucking fist, my dick, I break. I call out a hit, my dick, I make you fall. The handle with the bloody trick is all the salt. Before your ugly face was down on the ground, I barrel pointed at your frown with hollow rounds. I bet you wanna run this shit, it's too late now. You shouldn't have been running your lip to make me clown.
Why y'all just my gangster? These bitches just my gangster. Why y'all just my gangster? These bitches just my gangster. Why y'all just my gangster? These bitches just my gangster. Why y'all just my gangster? These bitches just my gangster. Why y'all just my gangster? These bitches just my gangster. Why y'all just my gangster? These bitches just my gangster. Why y'all just my gangster? These bitches just my gangster. Why y'all just my gangster? These bitches just my gangster.
Make a false move, their bodies on the floor. Fucking with no hoes, ain't never been no lie. bought. Duck if you bought.
And we're back with Black on Black on Black. You're here listening to us. We're here at Radio Valencia every Monday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And that was, if you don't know the fucking name of this song, anyways, that was Nuck If You Buck by Crime Mob and Lil Scrappy. It is by far, at least amongst millennials, it is by far the, like, fight song of our generation. Black millennials are fight song of our generation. So, I mean, I literally heard a DJ played it for us at Hello Stranger in Oakland, which is dope as fuck if you've never been there. And he played that on Thursday, and it was great. I hadn't heard that song played in person in a minute. It was the first time that I could really shake my locks. Fuck yes. Which, by the way, giving a shout out to my loctician who is also in the Bay Area in Emeryville. Check her out. She's fucking dope as fuck. She colors my hair as well. You can find her on her Instagram. It's Red Lock Heads Together. So REDSLOCHEADS. That's her Instagram. Red's Lock Heads All Together. Dope as fuck. Go ahead and make your appointment. Get out there. Get your shit locked up. She can shake your dreads to Nuck If You Buck as well. So anyways, we're back with Black on Black on Black. This is D Fantastic. And my co-host Queen ditched me to go find some French fries. So I am here, and we're gonna go ahead and dive into our next segment. So if y'all don't know this already, we're going to talk about what's going on at the NFL draft with, basically it's like NFL draft versus Shedeur Sanders. So Shedeur Sanders is a highly anticipated quarterback prospect and was selected by the Cleveland Browns in 2025 NFL draft with the 144th overall pick after a significant slide from a potential first round pick. The Browns traded up to acquire Sanders from the Seattle Seahawks, sending them their 166th and 119th overall picks. This marked a notable fall from his pre-draft projections, which had him going in the top five of the NFL draft. So going from top five to 144 is bizarre. Like, that just doesn't happen. But there's some additional context. So Shedeur is the son of Deion Sanders, right? And so Deion Sanders is currently the coach, is currently a college football coach. And so he previously was also like a football player. And so right now, previously coached the Colorado Buffaloes football team. And so that's where he's been at since, I think, 2022. And so he's been there. He's got this really big, vivacious personality. You might have heard him be called Coach Prime. That's like his, you know, his nickname. And, you know, like, he come out there and, like, he's got his chains on. Like, he's got, you know, like, whatever. Like, he's repping his shit. Like, he's an accomplished black dude in the world of football, right? And so Shedeur is his son, and Shedeur was on the Buffaloes team in which Deion was coaching. Okay, so that's just a little additional context. So here's where we think things got weird on the actual draft day. So Sanders' draft stock began to drop after he decided not to participate in the Senior Bowl or NFL Scouting Combine, raising questions about his commitment and the perceived lack of urgency in his preparation. So, like, people said stuff like, he's got a skill set but no dominant trait. He's a backup at this point, and those guys have to be wired for humble support of the starter, added an NFL wide receiver coach, okay? And so it also didn't help that, like, he didn't compete in the Senior Bowl. And so if you're not a first-round lock or injured, that's going to create some pause. A former NFL quarterbacks coach, said that this wasn't surprising that Sanders waited as long as they did in the draft. And the guys also said the intel I got was shocking. The guy has no awareness about how he's coming across or the type of leverage he has or doesn't have. So what we're seeing is that Sanders, Shador, didn't, quote-unquote, do the right things that he should have been doing in order to basically secure that he was going to be in the top five draft. People have been perceiving him as just not caring enough, I guess. And so there's other weird comments that happen. So some teams have been turned off by his perceived lack of awareness about how he's presenting himself in the pre-draft process, and his apparent combative personality, potentially leading to concerns about his coachability, right? So one NFL executive said, the reason why people give him so much grief, it's just when you talk to him, he's different. He's very much a thoughtful person. Sometimes it comes off a little combative because he's going to ask questions and he really wants to think through what you're saying. He's not really a yes man person. He's going to really have his own thoughts. In a February interview with ESPN commentator Kevin Clark asked Sanders which quarterbacks he watched and he wants to model his game after. And Sanders said, I watched my own tape. He said, and he was like, I feel like it'd be a little bit disrespectful to his dad, you know, the best player to ever play the game, if he looks up anyone else in that way. And so that answer also raised eyebrows, apparently, about questions about whether his confidence is necessary for the quarterback, because morphed into the kind of hubris that could prevent young quarterbacks from, quote unquote, shedding bad habits, right? So, lastly, the public persona. So, the narrative of the outspoken black son of an outspoken black former player from a wealthy black family. That's what we got from that. This whole, he's combative, he's asking questions, he's not just a yes man. Like, was he being analyzed that because of who he is as a person? Or was he being analyzed that because Dion, his dad, is outspoken, is not just a yes man, is, you know, like, he's going to say what's on his mind, he's going to express his feelings and all of that, and so is his son. And so you can't do that. And so, is that what the NFL is saying? And honestly, that wouldn't surprise me at all. Like, y'all know this about DeFantastic, but I'm from Texas, so of course I fucking love football. But if y'all aren't aware, football has a lot of problematic, like, just themes and issues across the space. One of it being the very fact that there's so many black players, and there's, like, you know, very, very little black coaches of these teams, never mind owners for NFL teams. And so you've got all these white people who are just, you know, yelling and commanding all these black bodies to do their work while also potentially suffering from grievous injuries, whether in their college career or NFL career, that could end their career, period. So you got these black kids who spent all of grade school getting into these conditions, then getting into college, and then trying to get into the NFL. They get to the NFL, which is, I mean, you know, getting picked for the NFL is just, the statistics on that are crazy. Like, it's like almost winning the lottery. Like, it's crazy. And so you make all that happen, and then he could hurt himself, and they're like, shit, good luck. Like, then that's that. And so then you've got, you know, creepy ass fucking owners, like the owners of the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones, who's just, I mean, he literally, to me, is the modern day owner, like the modern day, like, slave owner. He utilizes black bodies for the things that they do and the money that he can make from it, and nothing else. Like, he is very much so a racist, absolute dickhead. Was very adamant, very against the anti-racist things that the NFL tried to do following, you know, the murder of George Floyd, all of that. Like, he's just horrible. But that is the actual, that is one of the main issues of the NFL and college football, is that you've got these white dudes just literally capitalizing off of black bodies. And so when you have someone like Shador that comes in and is very much so like, nah, I'm not just going to do shit just because you want me to do shit. Then it's like, oh no, he's gotten out of hand. You know, they want to be able to crack the whip and be like, you going to do whatever the fuck I say. And then you're supposed to say, oh yes, Amasa, let me go ahead and shuck and jive. And the reality of that is that
that probably, unfortunately, happens more often than not because you have so many kids trying to break generational poverty and get out. And so they're like, fuck, like, I don't want to fuck up my chances, you know. But the white dudes, you know, they definitely have more leniency.
Yeah,
Queen Nora's back, by the way.
Hi, I need to get some food. But from what I looked up, the language that's been used is that they are worried that his personality, they're calling it a unique personality. It's interesting. I read multiple.